Wow, thank you. Good evening. Praise hallelujah. That's for the busy Christian. Praise the Lord and hallelujah, all squashed together. Amen. Amen. Appreciate the invitation to be a part of Heritage Camp. When the call came, I would call and was, you know, chatting with me, and I was like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And when my wife came home that night, she said, I was telling her about it, the call that came for Heritage Camp, I was saying, I don't want to do that, you know, and she said, how come? I said, well, you know, I'm still like a little boy inside, and like Heritage Camp, that's like people that are 50 and over. Be kind now, be kind, be kind. So, we may have grown up together on these grounds, but I still have feelings, so. The next line was to me, she said, well, you spoke there when you were 48. Now that you're 56, maybe you could go back and speak there again. And so I said, yeah, that's not a bad point. But I really believe this week, a heritage, it's not simply about age. It's been the investment that you have been in this generation. And we need to pull on that this week. So we're not going to pull from the past. We're going to pull from the future. I'll be back. Okay. We're not going to pull from the past. We're going to pull from the future. We're going to pull from the future. The best days are still ahead of us. Now, we'll reference the past because those are signs and guidelines of the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And no one is more aware of that than this fella right here, of the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say thank God. This is the first time I've come out of the campgrounds where we haven't owned a cottage. And so that was a little bit of a different feeling this time around. And I thank God for the investment that this camp has been into my family and my son and my daughters and my wife and myself. It's just been a real place of refuge and a lot of fun too back in youth camp and back in the days of stealing the bell. Now I wouldn't even get up on the roof now. The bell's back there now. So if somebody steals the bell this week, it isn't me. Believe me, I've grown up a little bit. It's all good. Praise the Lord. I don't want to grow up too fast. I hear it's no fun. So I just enjoy life. Life has been good. I just drove in from Maine this afternoon. I was up in Lisbon, Maine, wherever that is. Let me tell you, Maine has a ton of trees. They got a ton of trees, and it was pretty country. We had a great time. The Holy Spirit was so good to us. He usually is, but it was so good to us. We were just laying hands upon people yesterday, and people were just, you know, having a great time in the presence of the Lord. And was praying for this mother and her little boy. He was about 8 years old, and power of God hit them, and down they went. And on the way down, out of the little boy's mouth, right? A little boy's mouth. He's 8 years old. I hear, what the heck? I'm glad he stuck with the word heck, because his knees have buckled, he's fallen back, and his mother's beside him, and now the little boy's mouth, what the heck? And the power of God was all over, but I thought, that was so cute. That was just so cute. It's just amazing what comes out of the mouth of people. Never mind children, people. So, but good, good. I'm so glad. Thank you for the invitation. And actually, when I did pull in this afternoon, I went to the evangelist quarters, and I saw this really ugly toilet sitting outside on the deck, and I told my room was 13, but the toilet was beside 15, and I thought, okay, 15 has to be my room, because nobody in their right mind would ever put a dirty toilet outside the former Maritime District Superintendent's cabin. So I had to knock on the door to find out, and lo and behold, there they were, and there was the stinky toilet out front. So it was all $50. Whoever put that there, you understand that evangelists are cheap? Like, we'll lug that puppy away before we pay you $50. You need to understand that. True, Pastor David. We will take that puppy and just put it somewhere else. But it's all good. We've done three camps together, so I have heard Joseph four. I've heard Joseph, Job, which was really depressing, but you got it around the last, and now Samson, so this is good. This is good. And last summer, I think we were together in the Ottawa Valley, and I didn't miss a session. Don't miss a session, because when you're traveling, you're preaching, you're sharing, you just need to sit underneath your word and soak it in yourself, and you know what I'm talking about, and so we're going to take that time. The Lord dropped a message into my heart last February, and I began to just scrap it on a piece of paper, and then I shared a little bit with it that night in one of our churches in Peterborough, and I just want to come back to that tonight and just share the Word of God with you this evening that God has laid upon my heart. I don't have a series of messages. I sometimes walk to the platform with nothing or three, and whatever God has, I'm an evangelist. How many understand? I'm not a pastor. I don't have to be that nice. Okay, so I'm an evangelist, so I'll say things that your pastor wished he could have said, but doesn't have the guts to say it, and so it's all good, and so it's all fine. I'm not a bad guy. I just let it loose and just put it out there. I don't want anyone to ever leave the tabernacle saying, "I wonder what Chuck Price really meant." So we have that gift, and we'll share it with you. You'll never have to guess twice what I was thinking about and what God laid upon my heart. So thank you for the invitation. We're going to have a good week. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm just looking forward to what God has for us. Praise God. Amen, amen. Mark, you're good. You got a great touch of God and great with the keyboard. You're good. I'm glad you're here. Nobody else is, but I'm glad you're here. So I just... I can just set up the lines. I can't clap for them, so it's all okay. So, is this your daughter? Oh, your wife. Okay, so, all right. So. I was joking. The book of Isaiah, shall we? And then we're going to take a boo over into Luke. Gospel, because I want you to see that this is brought forward from Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 40. I want to talk tonight about prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way, not of the Lord. I have to correct myself. Prepare the way for the Lord. Prepare the way for the Lord. And I want to come back to this because this is Heritage Week. And I want us to move forward what God has for us with all my heart, with all that I have. I want you to understand that, you know, some of you have served the Lord God longer than I've been alive. And I love to sit with people like that and to hear their story and to for them to share the power of the Lord Jesus Christ into my own heart, my own life. But church, you know, God is setting us up for an end time move of the Holy Spirit. I don't need your amen. I don't need you to agree with me. I'm just telling you straight up. God is setting us up for an end time move of the Holy Spirit. And the darker it gets, and the tougher it gets, and the tighter it gets, and I just say thank the Lord Jesus Christ, because God is setting us up for an end time move of the Holy Spirit. It's not about a man, not about a ministry, not about a movement. It's going to be the Acts 2x4. It's going to be the Acts and the Joel 2, where the Holy Spirit's just going to move upon all flesh. All flesh. He didn't say the church. Don't make me work so hard already, okay? It's only Sunday night. He didn't say, "I'm going to move upon the church." He said, "upon all flesh." He didn't say, "save flesh." He said, "you're on saved son." All right? See, there's an urgency in heaven because your prodigal son hasn't come home yet. So there's an urgency in heaven. And the coin hasn't been found yet, and the lamb hasn't come back yet. And so there's an urgency in the heavens that we need to get this together. And so in the end times, I don't believe that God's going to leave it to a man, a movement, or a ministry, but the my spirit of God is just going to flow through the land. It's going to be an awesome time. And I've asked the Lord to let me live long enough to see it, praise the Lord. I don't want to just preach about it. I want to witness it. I want to see with my eyes what God's going to do in these last days. But I need to pull from your heritage. I need to pull from your 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there's some folks now in our churches, they don't have any history. They don't have any past, and we thank God for that. All our churches that have people have been saved for a week or two. A month or two. We want that. We desire that. That keeps us healthy. That keeps us vibrant. That keeps us growing. But you know what? As I travel now, I have guys and gals that will come to me and say, "Chuck, we thank you for all you've done as Pentecostals, but we'll take it from here. We'll take it from here." And there's something that rises up inside of me, and it's not really nice, but so I have to push it back down again because I don't believe that God's finished with us yet. I don't believe that God's finished with us yet. You see, Pentecost is not a denomination. I'll be back. I really do like you. Pentecost is not a denomination. Pentecost is not a bad word. It's not a bad word. It's not a bad word. I am not charismatic. I am Pentecostal. I am Pentecostal, Acts 2:4. Hallelujah, praise, hallelujah, thank God. And so I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed of that. And I want to address that tonight as we prepare the way of the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 40, down into verse 3, it says, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway of our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill be made low, and the rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. I like that. And then over into Luke chapter 3, the doctor has some words to say to us. In Luke chapter 3, it talks about this. Again, looking at a voice of one calling in the desert, verse 4, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight the paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill be made low. The crooked roads will become straight, the rough ways made smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. And then in Matthew chapter 3, you have a bit of a job description, a bit of an MO, of the man who stands in that place as John the Baptist and as the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And so we want to marry these thoughts together tonight as we look at this portion of Scripture. A voice of one calling in the desert, in the desert, in the desert, in the dry places, in the dry places of your life, in the dry places of your heart. The desert saying, prepare the way for the Lord. A voice. Church, a voice, not an echo, not a parrot. A voice, a voice. Canada needs a voice. We have parrots and we have echoes, and they can echo things from California to Kentucky to St. Louis to Chicago. And those aren't bad to take principles, but I'll tell you, ma'am, sir, if we'll spend the time alone in the presence of God and read all you can get and take all the precepts and all the principles, but we need a word for Canada. We need a word for Canada. We need a word for Canada. We need a voice. We need a voice, not a parrot, not an echo, not just borrowing someone else's stuff, but standing in the gap and making up the hedge in what God has called us to do. For there is one calling. One calling. I love that. Do you remember the day that God called you, spoke to you, right? Called you out of darkness, called you by name. Called you by name, the day you gave your life to Jesus Christ. Remember in Genesis, when the day came where Adam and Eve had sinned and they hid themselves in the garden, there was one who came into the cool of the eve as he did every night to spend time with his children. And there he was, and he called out, Adam, Adam. It was something new to him at this time. Was it something foreign to him? He never had to look for his children before, never had to spend time calling their names, but it was different now because of the separation of sin. And so I got to tell you, church, that same voice that called Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis still walks the Canadian land, still walks our country, calling names. Would you come? Where are you? Where are you? He still calls as he does in the book of Revelation, chapter 3. I used to think it was an evangelistic message when we would talk about that God stands at the door and he knocks. I used to think about that as an evangelistic message. But when you really look at it, he's speaking to the church. He's speaking to the church of Asia Minor. He's talking to the church. And it would seem somewhere in the journey that Jesus Christ is on the outside of the church and he's knocking to get back in again. That's sad. That's sad that the head would be speaking to the body and say, hey, does somebody hear me? Does somebody hear me? Would somebody open the door and let me back in? I really would like to be Lord of my church. I really would like to be the head of my church. That wouldn't that be sad to be attending a church where we don't acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus Christ? I got to tell you straight up, I travel full time now. I pastored for 24 years, and now the last 9 years, traveled as a missionary evangelist under Reapers in the Rain International. And so 37 countries in the last 9 years, places I go where I don't even hear the name of Jesus Christ until I get up to preach. Don't hear it in song, don't hear it in testimony, don't hear it, don't hear it. I got to tell you tonight, church, there's still one who's calling into his church saying, would you open the door? I'd like to come back in. I'd like to come back into my body. After all, he is the head of the church. One calling, one calling, one calling. In the desert, the dry, the thirsty places, the obscure, the desolate, the less traveled. Prepare the way. Prepare the way. We are called people of the way. We were called people of the way. And understand that. Of the way. I like that. It's to make clear, get things ready, create a favorable environment, and make it easy for Jesus. That's what we're to do. Let me say it again because I have the microphone. We are to make it easy for Jesus to come into people's lives. It's that simple. You and I are to make it easy for your neighbors to get saved. You and I are to make it easy for people to walk the aisle in your Sunday morning service. You and I are to make it easy. We are to create an environment by our life, by our speech, by our prayer life, that who we are in Christ is very attractive to people who are dying and going to hell. That don't know Jesus Christ, you are very attractive. You're a good-looking bunch. But on the inside, you're very attractive to those who don't know Jesus Christ. Prepare the way. Create a favorable environment. I don't know what that conjures up in your mind as I say that. Maybe you think of your local place of worship and say, well, I wish it was this way and wish it was that way. Well, stop wishing and make a difference. Just make a difference. Well, I wish we sang more choruses. I wish we sang more hymns. Listen, if people are coming in and don't know Jesus, they don't know choruses or hymns. Could I just mention, you're going to like this. I was hoping to save it till Friday night when I was leaving, but I'm just going to lay it out Sunday night. The church exists for its non-members. Thank you. The church exists for its non-members. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, we say, thank the Lord, your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That church now exists for everybody outside its walls. And somehow we become inward, somehow we've turned it in, somehow we've made it about my church, me church, and that was God's, never was his heart. Like the most important people to Jesus Christ, this is not a shot at you tonight, but the most important people to Jesus Christ today, this morning, weren't in service. They were still hung over from last night. They were still drinking out of a brown paper bag or still popping pills or still deciding whether they wanted to go to bed. I got to tell you, the Word of God says in Luke 19:10, Jesus Christ came to seek and to save the lost. His job description has never changed. Never changed. He just lays it out there for us. It's a good four-letter word. Hallelujah. We just need to get it back into our lives where the lost, it's about the lost. I want you to see something else of that last phrase. We're preparing the way for the Lord. Not of the Lord, for the Lord. We're preparing the way for the Lord, for he's coming back. He's coming. Jesus Christ is coming. I don't know when the last time you heard a message on the second coming. He's coming. I got to tell you straight up, CNN is doing a better job of announcing the second coming than a lot of our churches. Ouch, amen? I'll say it again because now you're mad at me. CNN is doing a better job of announcing the second coming of Jesus Christ than a lot of our churches. Every mudslide, every tornado, everything that's taking place out of Matthew 24:25, the earth is groaning underneath the weight of the second coming. The earth is groaning, absolutely groaning, groaning, groaning with tornadoes and hurricanes and mudslides, and you name it, all sorts of pestilence. It's all written in the book, church. It's all written in the book. There's no mystery in heaven tonight. What's going on? Read Matthew 24:25. Take your 6.5 minutes, you'll understand. And so Jesus Christ says, I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming. And I say, come, Lord Jesus, and even so, come quickly. John was the messenger. Jesus was the message. Today, the church is the messenger. And guess what? Jesus is still the message. Jesus is still the message. I want you to hear that again in case you're wondering. Jesus is still the message. The church exists for that reason, to share the love and the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. John, he spoke of Christ's first coming. The church must speak of Christ's second coming. We have to. We have to. Church, for every one verse about the Advent, his first Advent for Christmas, there are 9 verses which speak about his second coming. So he's serious about this. Chapter after chapter, verse after verse, Old Testament to New Testament, of the 66 books, so many references of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. John had one sermon. He would have been a lousy pastor. Maybe a good pastor, but he would have got tired of his Sunday morning message. Next Sunday, he'd stand up and preach, repent and be baptized. You know what you get the week after? Repent and be baptized. and the week after, repent and be baptized. John lived a rather simple life. He just lived a rather simple life. Wasn't concerned about all the stuff and the fancy and the frill. His appearance, rather simple. Word of God says he had a belt and his clothes were made out of camel hair. Nice. Right, so there he is out there, this voice in the wilderness. You know, didn't really care about the latest stuff that was going on. He didn't have a whole lot of stuff, but he shared a great message. His diet, locusts and honey. You'd be picking your teeth for a while. Locusts and honey. Sweeten them up and then give them a little protein. Off he went. His worship was simple. His message wasn't really that complicated. Church, if I could draw two thoughts from the life of Johnny the Baptist, number one would be his message of repentance. His message of repentance. Listen, church, you and I are grace people. I thank God for his grace. We sang about it tonight. Grace is enough. His grace is enough. And it is. But church, there was a high cost for our grace. I find as I travel, and I don't want to make light of grace tonight. I don't want to call it names or give it nouns and adjectives, because I thank God for the grace of Jesus Christ. So we don't make fun of grace. We don't play that. We don't dance down that road. We don't make fun of grace. But you know what, church? John didn't come preaching a message of grace. He came preaching a message of repentance. Repentance. Turn from your wicked ways. Turn to God. Turn to God. In other words, turn away from your old self, your old nature, and walk in the things that God has for you. Yes, saved by grace. Yes, walk by faith. But Jesus Christ paid a high price through the repentance of giving his life for us and dying and rising again and breaking the powers of death. And that's not just about grace. That's for repentance. That we might know him. That we might know him. Today, I'm afraid that people hide a lot of stuff under grace. Is that clear enough? They just hide stuff under grace. Don't worry about it, the grace of God. Don't worry about it, the grace of God. I'm not worried about it. You ought to be. Right? The grace of God, the grace of God, the grace of God. I'm all for grace, church. Don't get me wrong. Please don't play. I'm all for grace, but I'm all for repentance too. I'm all for repentance, for just denying self and walking afresh in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing I like about Johnny the Baptist was his uncluttered life. His uncluttered life. When I think of John the Baptist, I can't help but think of Billy Graham. I can't help but think of a man who has just walked before generations in pure and holiness and allowed the world to do his books for him, to do his accounting, to see his year end, to come in and see where he lived. He had nothing to hide. He just kept it simple and uncluttered. He didn't play the game of ministry. He didn't play the game of whatever he was supposed to play. And John the Baptist just kept it simple. Now, I'm not suggesting you sell your home and car and buy a camel and live in a cave, unless you want to. Then I'll live in your home and drive your car. God bless you. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. I don't play. I just think sometimes as the years go by, we clutter our Christianity with stuff that doesn't need to be there. We just put stuff in there that has really no place through tradition or religion and things that just kind of bind us instead of loosen us. Is that clear enough, fair enough? You see, we want to make it easy for Jesus to enter and operate in the hearts and lives of people. Again, creating a favorable environment. So, for the next few moments, I want to deal with how we can do that. How can we prepare the way? Well, let's just take Isaiah and Luke as our template, and we'll reference old and new. The fact that it's in Old and New would suggest that Jesus wants to get it across to us pretty clear from Old and New Testament. Isaiah says this, number one, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Dr. Luke puts it this way. He says, make straight paths, plural, for him. Make straight paths for him. Isaiah says, we got to do something called make straight in the wilderness a highway of our God. A highway paves the way. It's raised up. It's a higher elevation. It's prepared ground. It takes a while to get there, but it's good ground, and it's good to travel on. Make straight. No detours. Straighten it out. Straighten it out. Straighten it out. And I really believe one of the best ways to follow somebody or travel is just go A to B. Just A to B. Let's just get there. Just get there. And I believe that that's what God wants in our own hearts, in our own lives. So straighten it out. That's what God wants. Secondly, Isaiah says, every valley shall be raised up. Luke says, every valley shall be filled in. Just a little variance there. Every valley shall be raised in. Luke says, every valley shall be filled in. And so it's like one's coming up and one's being poured in. One's coming up and one's being poured in. And the Word of God would teach us about these valley moments in our lives. Depression is a valley moment. God wants to fill in the depressions of your life. He wants to fill in those deposits that are gathering stuff that should not be there. He wants to fill that stuff in. He's done it for me. He can do it for you. And I say, thank the Lord Jesus Christ. Where things collect, past defeats, areas of sin in our hearts and our lives that have been troublesome over the years, failures, places where we get bogged down in our thinking, our troubled spots, empty places. The Word of God says, raise them up, fill them in. Raise them up, fill them in. Come on, church. Raise them up, fill them in. Raise them up, fill them in. That's what God wants through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how we do it. You know, that's what God wants for our life. There needs to be a process of filling in. Filling in. I'm glad for the baptism of the Holy Ghost that fills me up. I thank God. Holy Spirit came down, came in, and they went out. I thank God for that. But in our journey as a Christian, there needs to be some things in our lives that are filled in. Filled in where Holy Spirit fills in some deposits that ought not to be there. Some low places, some low living areas where God says, oh, man, let's straighten this out. Let's just smooth this thing over. I believe that's what God is teaching. Number three is Isaiah says, every mountain and hill shall be made low. Dr. Luke says, every mountain and hill shall be made low. Wow. Same thing, Isaiah says it hundreds and hundreds of years ahead of time. Dr. Luke comes along, bam, lays it out there. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. Mountains, hills. What do I mean by that? Well, let me just try to explain it. Those elevated areas of our life that ought not to be there. Let's call it, pride. Well, let's call it that we all are that in a bag of chips. That we think more of ourselves than we ought to, that we think more of ourselves than other people, that we think, and we don't want to play that game, but the Word of God says fill it in and get rid of that stuff, bring it down low, those elevated areas of our flesh, pride, entitlement. Listen, I got to tell you, I've been in Pentecostal circles all my life, other than a little while where I ran away from God, you know, and that didn't go well because everywhere I went, He was already there. So if you're here tonight, you're running away from God, listen to the old dog tonight. Give up, you're surrounded. Just give it up, honey. Give it up, you're surrounded. Where do you think you're going to go where Jesus is up there going, I wonder where He is. Lord, you know, Jesus, Holy Spirit, Gabriel, get the GPS. We got to find this town. Not going to happen, not going to work. Most of you have heard my testimony, how my mama prayed, got in the car and tracked me down. There's a great homing device in the Holy Ghost, hallelujah. And we say, thank the Lord God for that. Church, we don't want to elevate, we don't want to play that game. We just want to be smooth, we want to just lay it out for God. No entitlement. Church, I appreciate the fact that you've attended your church for 60 years. I appreciate the fact that you pretty well paid the building off. I appreciate the fact, but that doesn't give us any more entitlement than the person that walks in next week and gets saved. Let me say it again because it irritates some of you. I like to irritate religious people. None are here tonight, so just tell them later tonight. Later. Oops. Entitlement. We got to be careful. Come on. I know this one hurts, but we got to be careful. I have to be careful. I have no entitlement because Dad was, Mom was, Grandpa was, or because Grandpa helped Moses write the Ten Commandments. That's not true. But I have no more entitlement. Let's not play that game. This is about kingdom of God. This is about kingdom of God. He said He would build His church. He doesn't need your help. Okay, back to my notes. Offenses. Anyone in church ever been offended? Let me answer that one for us. Yes. Come on, if you've been in the church more than 3 weeks, you've probably been offended. Before you even got to the church door, you got offended. It happens once in a while. It happens in families. Why wouldn't it happen in God's family? So what? It happens. People say things. People do things. Buck up, buttercup. It happens. Things happen that shouldn't happen. Things get said. Listen, I can't dictate people's words to me, but I can speak to my response. I can speak to my reaction, not their actions. And we need to understand that and understand that. Because I tell you, when new people walk into our churches, they're smart enough to pick up the environment. They're smart enough. You wonder why they don't come back after 2 or 3 weeks? Because they feel what they feel in different places in the church. They feel it at work. They feel it at home. They're not coming back to that church. They don't want bitterness. They don't want envy. They don't want strife. They can get that out there. They don't want it in God's house. And so we don't want to carry offense. If you're carrying offense tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ, please let it go. Let it go. Be the person God wants you to be. I'm sorry you got hurt. If I could take it, I would. But I know someone that can help you tonight. His name is Jesus Christ. The same one that took your sins can take your offense tonight. I know it was hurt. I know it cut your daughter. I know some of your family left church over it. I get it. I understand it. But we can't carry it because there are still people that are going to walk through the doors that need Jesus. And they pick up on the sense that's in the building. And we want to be careful because we want to make it easy for people to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Habits, indifference, attitudes, priorities, all that stuff, we can wade through that. The Word of God says every mountain and hill needs to come down. Every mountain and hill needs to be laid out, laid low. The Word of God makes it very clear. A number of years ago, I guess 4 years ago, I was over in India. And I was with Huldah Buntain and also our PYC missionaries, the Sampsons. I was down in Chennai with them. They took me to a piece of property that they had purchased for a building. When I got to the property, we were looking at it, and there was about 7 women there with little ball peen hammers. And they were smashing, crushing huge boulders. Like huge, I don't mean little rocks. I mean huge, huge boulders. And that's what they did day after day after day with a ball peen hammer. Right? And so until the land was flat, until the land was crushed, until everything was laid low. And as I was watching that, I thought, man, what a job. Covered with huge boulders that had to be removed. And here's these women with hammers hitting, breaking them into small pieces. They'd break them into small pieces, so now they went from big boulders to little gravel pieces. They would put them in bags, and they would put them on the side of the road. A truck would come by at the end of the day and buy the gravel. Okay, they didn't get it. Okay, so over here, right? Big rocks, big rocks. Hammers, 7, 8 women. Ding, 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 ding. Little gravel piece in a bag on the side of the road. Once was a big boulder. They're in little rocks now in a bag, and they're getting money for it. They're getting money for it. I say, thank the Lord. Some of us need to do that. Some of us need to get the Holy Ghost anvil out tonight and just start breaking down some boulder stuff in our life. Just get the real small little rocks, put it in a bag, and get some cash for it and tithe off it. Hallelujah, right? Your pastor will love you for it. But you need to step into that because that's what God desires. We need to crush the big stuff. We need to crush the big stuff. We need to crush the big stuff. We need to crush the big stuff and make them small and walk on them into our future. Walk on in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not letting this stuff stop me. I'm going ahead in Jesus' name. It looked big now. It looks really big. This boulder can't be moved. But I got to tell you, a couple of days from now, a couple of weeks from now, maybe a couple of months from now, it's no longer that big, and it's in a bag, and you got some money for it, honey. Hallelujah. It's all good. You got to make a choice. You got to make a choice to prepare the way for the Lord in our personal lives, in our hearts, in our homes, in our lives, in our marriages. Isaiah says it this way, number 4, the rough ground shall become level. Dr. Luke says the crooked roads shall become straight. Wow, I like that. The rough ground shall become level. The crooked roads shall become straight. The rough. I don't know about you, I can only speak for me. I still have some rough edges in my life. I know you're shocked, right? Thank you, ma'am, for not saying amen. I still have some feelings left. I do. I still have some rough edges in my life. At 56 years of age, there's still some stuff that's kind of rough. Rough. I don't want that. I want to be hard on the world and soft with God, soft to the Holy Spirit, that He might do a work in my life. But there's some stuff, Dr. Luke says, the crooked roads, like the crooked thinking, Chuck. like the crooked roads, the crooked thinking. They need to become straight. Church, I said it before, I'll say it again. It's easier to give directions on a road that's straight. It's just easy for someone to follow you. If you're the lead car bringing someone to Christ, it's easier if your road is straight than a windy road, rough road where you're going here and there till finally the person pulls over and gives up. Say, I can't do this anymore. I don't want that for your life, and I don't want that for my life. The Word of God lays it out there. Let me ask a question. If your life was the roadmap to Jesus, would the world find Jesus? If your life, your living, your attitudes, your motives, was the roadmap for people to find Jesus, would they find Jesus? Would they find Jesus through our hearts, through our lives, if your life was a roadmap to Jesus, which, by the way, it is. Your life is a map for people to find Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 13 says this, make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. I like that. I don't want to disable anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody. I want people to be healed because they see Jesus Christ in my life. I want them to know the hope of God, the joy of God. I desire that. I want that. Number five, Isaiah says, the raised places make them plain. Luke says, the rough ways make them smooth. You see, that's kind of like the other one. Well, let's go down that road for a moment. Isaiah, the raised places make them a plain. And Luke says, the rough ways make them smooth. It talks about the order of your life, the priorities of your life, what you think is important, what really is important to eternity. I have a prayer that I pray many times in the course of a week. Lord, if there's something in my life that you see that you can't use, I don't want it. If there's something you see in my life, now I've served it now for well over 35 years, but Lord, if there's something you see in my life that you can't use, we don't need it. We don't need it. We don't need it. It's not that attractive to the people that need Jesus Christ the most. We don't need it. So take it, Lord. Take it out of my life. The priorities of our life. Temper. Smooth it out. Temper it out. Get the bumps out. Temper my tongue. Temper my thinking. You know, it's not a case of, well, that's just the way our family is. You have a new family in Jesus Christ. Mama was the way she was. Grandpa was the way he was. You know, uncle was the way he was. Let's not excuse ourselves. Let's just step in. You have a new nature inside of you. You have the temper of the Holy Spirit. And when I say temper, I mean the temperament that he can just temper some stuff in our lives. Say, Chuck, I'm an angry guy. I'm an angry lady. Don't do that. It's a choice. It's a choice. You can choose to do that or choose not to do that. Let's temper it out. Smooth it out. Just smooth the rough places. Make it plain. Take the bumps out of our Christianity. Let me wrap up tonight with the results. The results are pretty sweet, church. I mean, the results are pretty sweet. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Just give me a minute. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. For the glory of the Lord shall be shown. The glory, isn't that what we want, church? We want people to see the glory of God. We want people to see the glory of God. Dr. Luke ties in the same thought and lays it out this way. And all mankind will see God's salvation. Wow. Wow. Isn't that why we've lived all these years for him? You didn't do this because you were afraid of going to hell, did you? Some of you feel like you've been there already and back. I'm not afraid to die, you're not afraid to die. I'm not going to hell, and neither are you. But I gotta tell you, church, I wanna see the glory of God. I wanna see the glory of God. I don't wanna see just the glory of Israel, I wanna see the glory of God. I wanna see the glory of God. I wanna see the glory manifest in the person of Jesus Christ. I wanna see the glory of God poured out in this generation like never before. I wanna see that. I wanna see the glory of God that will usher in new, not just manifestations, but a presence of God that's bigger than stuff. And I say, thank God. We wanna be people like that. Church, we are to prepare. We are to prepare the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah. It sounds a little bit like Acts chapter 2. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my Spirit. upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. They're going to prophesy, praise the Lord. Your grandbabies, your granddaughters, one of these days they're going to whip open the back door of the cottage and walk in there and begin to prophesy. They can't spell cat, but they know Jesus, hallelujah. And they're just going to prophesy. And you're just going to hit the floor, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I like that. Maybe too, you'll go, what the heck? What the heck? What the heck's going on? The glory of God. The glory of God. Church, I believe that God has raised us up to usher in an end time move of God, to usher in the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's why we're not a denomination. We're more than that. Right? We're not a monument. We're a move. We're liquid. We flow. Water always flows to the deepest, and then it begins to come up and come up, and then it begins to bubble up on whatever opening is allowed. And that's what God wants to use, is this generation. That's our heritage. That's our heritage now. I'm not stopping now. I'm not stopping now. I'm not backing off now. I'm not going to delete or diminish. I'm looking for an end time move of the Holy Spirit of God. Church, we're to prepare the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ. We're to be people of the way, not in the way. We're supposed to be Holy Ghost people raised up by God to prepare the way for an end time move of God that will produce an end time harvest. Harvest, harvest, that we would continue to see people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But before that can take place, before we can be prepared for the way of the Lord, we must be prepared by the Lord. Before we can make straight the way, we need to straighten up. We need to fill in the low living of our Christian life. We need to tear down those things in our life that have enabled self. We need to get rid of the crooked and deceitful areas of our thinking. We need to deal with the rough patches of our heart and smooth them out. We need to get the saved ready for revival, and we need to get the unsaved ready for the rapture. Let me say it again because I have the microphone. My position, I eat and breathe and sleep it, is to get the church ready for revival. For revival. For revival. Capital R, revival. A move of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not through an event, not through a three-day campaign, but by heaven opening up and pouring out and bubbling up, and we will see the glory of God like no other generation, because that's our heritage. That's our heritage. Sir, that's why you're 80 years old and still breathing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we need you. We need your testimony. Mom, we need your story. We're not as fast as we used to be, but you got the Caleb spirit. You can still go up and take the mountain in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We can do it. We can do it. We can do it. I say thank the Lord. Thank you for that smattering of applause. We need to get the saved ready for revival and the unsaved ready for the rapture. Because one of these days, Jesus Christ is coming back. When I was a little dude, I thought, oh, I'll live my life. Then when I hear the trumpet sound, that'll give me a couple of seconds to go, Jesus, forgive me, come in. Beam me up, Scotty. That worked until one day. Because mom was usually home. Did you ever have this experience? Where your saved mother was always home, but she wasn't home that day, and you ran through the house going, Mom! 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 Mom? Oh, God, I'm sorry. I'm such a rotten, filthy, pagan 8-year-old. Oh, God, I shouldn't have stole those 2 cookies. Oh, God, forgive me. She warned me the rapture was going to come. Mom's gone, and I'm still here. And then the back door would open. Charles, are you here? Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Because if anybody was making the rapture, it was your mama. You're laughing because you remember that day when you ran through the house. It was a terrible feeling. And yet someday, people will run through the house and they'll look for their Christian grandma and they'll look for their Christian mama and they won't be there. No play this time. Real deal. Real deal. Real deal. Our baby girl just got married 6 weeks ago. She's the youngest of the 3, last one, 26. She got married to what's his name? I better be careful. His name's Benton. I tease with him. I love him. He's 6'7", 295 pounds. He's a big lad, by the way. But they all have knees. He loves Jesus, and he loves my girl. That's all that matters. I didn't know how much work. You know, Matthew got married, and they got married in BC, and they did it all. We flew in and joined the wedding, and it was all cool. Saturday, went to preach somewhere Sunday and flew home, you know. Sarah, she got married right here in the back. You know, married Andrew, right? She did it all. She didn't want our help. Just get her done, right? And now Rebecca, it's a lot of work when a kid gets married. And it's not cheap. It's a lot of work. The groom has worked hard for us, church. The groom has worked hard for us, ma'am. Sir, the groom has worked hard for us. He's worked hard for you, Dad. It's been a lot of work. And the invitations have been sent. And the Holy Spirit has come because all things are ready now. All things are ready now. And there's a concern because his house is not full. So that's why tonight, as we leave here, I need some mums and dads and grandmothers and grandfathers and whoever you are tonight, just to say, with what I have left and the years I have left and the breath I have left, I choose to prepare the way for the Lord. I choose to prepare the way, not of the Lord, for the Lord, for the Lord. I choose to make it easy for him to work in my town. I choose to make it easy for him to work in my city. I choose to make it easy for him to work in my church. I might not agree with everything, might not like everything, but people need Jesus. People need Jesus. People need Jesus. I hear a voice. I hear the sound of a voice of one calling in the wilderness. With all the little voices in my head, I still hear one louder than everyone else. I hear a voice. I hear the sound. I hear the sound. I hear the voice. Prepare the way of the Lord, Mom. Prepare the way for the Lord, sir. Prepare the way. Prepare the way. We need some John the Baptist that will rise up, not for the first advent, but for the second. It's Heritage Week. I'm speaking to people that have a heritage in God. Not someone who's been saved 3 weeks. And if you're here tonight, thank God you're here. But I'm talking to those, I can look around, and I know many of you, you've been saved for years and decades and decades and decades, and that fire of God burns inside of you. This is not the generation to sit back. This is the generation to rise up and prepare the way for the Lord. For the Lord. Would you stand with me? Mark, would you come back and give us something? Just slap the devil music. Father, I love you. You're awesome. You're awesome. You're awesome. You're awesome. You're awesome. The older I get, the more I love you. The clearer my vision is, the better my eyesight is. I see things now today that I just struggled with over the years. I get it now. We've been through the valleys. We've been to the low places. We've been through the depressions. We've been through the low ends. We've been. But Father, today we just take a look around and we say, thank you, Father, for what you've done for us. Thank you for being there for us. There was no lineup to save me. Thanks for stepping in, Jesus. There was no committee. Thanks for stepping in, Jesus. There wasn't even much of an invitation. Thanks, Father, for sending your son. Thanks. Thanks, Holy Spirit, for coming. Thanks for the investment you've made inside this house tonight. Thank you for the investment you made inside the church. But we exist for the non-Christian. We exist for those who don't know Jesus Christ. I pray you'd raise up some folks in this room tonight that also would hear that voice. Prepare the way for the Lord. Prepare the way for the Lord. Prepare the way for the Lord. Prepare the way. Prepare the way. I don't want to be in the way. I want to prepare the way. I don't want to cause hurt. I don't want to cause pain. I don't want to cause wounding. I want to prepare the way for the Lord. I want my life to be a highway, a pathway. I want the deposits, the depressions filled up. I want the crooked places made straight. I want then the stuff, the rough, I want to plane it out. Plane it. Get the wood planer and just go over my life. Just go over my life. Just get the stuff out, Lord God, so I can make it easy for Jesus to work in this generation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is that your prayer tonight? I just want to make it easy for Jesus to work. Come on, this is heritage. This is heritage. This is the investment of Calvary. This is the investment of the blood. This is the investment. This is why we're still here. This is why you got 50 years of Christianity under your belt. That's why. It was just a matter of getting saved. God could have taken you out a long time ago. But we're saved to serve, to make a difference. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have a testimony tonight. A testimony. Let's stay with the test and not the money part. I hear lots of monies. I want to hear the test part. I've been tested and tried and found proven. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There are a few folks here tonight that just say, Chuck, I got it tonight. I just wanted you to come and stand with me tonight. We're going to take a time of worship. We're going to close out our service that way. And just, Lord, I'm here. I want to prepare the way for the Lord. Just want to take some time. Marco will lead us in worship. If not, that's fine. We'll just continue on and see what God has for us. Amen? Amen. So, Father, thanks for our time together tonight. You're awesome. We love you. We love you. We love you. Whatever the rest of the night looks like, we thank you that you hold it in your hand. Father, whatever the conversation is in the cabin, the cottage, the RV, we just want to prepare the way for the Lord. We just want to prepare the way for the Lord. I want to make it easy for Holy Spirit to work in people's lives. I don't want to hear, well, I'll never go to that church. I don't want to hear that. Don't want to hear that. I want to make it easy for God to move. I know you don't need a church building, Lord, but Father, use us to make a difference in someone's eternity. I pray, Lord God, you'd speak to our hearts about preparing the way for a voice, not an echo, not a parrot, a voice. One crying. Father, speak to our hearts tonight. Love on us, encourage us. Give us rest tonight, not just sleep, rest. Prepare us for the gift you have for us tomorrow. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. Amen, amen, amen.